Thank you, Lucy. Great time of worship this morning. And indeed, I have to echo out that thanks that Israel commended all you men who served the ladies' tea yesterday. What a great event. And you men never look so good. You know, some of you guys, I didn't know you were that good looking until you dressed up with those black pants and white shirts and had your serving aprons on. Those of you who missed it, you missed a great, great time. Heidi, I know, does it once a year. And it's always a special event for the community, and we had a lot of different new people that came, and so we're glad everybody's heart was refreshed. I found myself yesterday going around thanking people, you know. I said, wow, this is great work. This is awesome, you know, and maybe you'll want to give your thanks to people like Liliana, who I saw earlier today, but she did a great job in all the decor. I see Linda back here, Linda Trujillo. What a gift you are, Linda. Thank you for all your good work. And Vicky, many, many others who served and really made it such a special event. And, you know, isn't it good to know when people recognize your work and realize it's a good work? I think our Father's that way. He likes us to know His work and recognize it's a good work. And that's really what the finished work is all about. That's why I love gathering here at the church every week and hearing Josh teach and preach and worshiping, singing wonderful songs together, and of course having communion, because we're reminding ourselves to tell the Father, Father, your work is a good work. And the beautiful thing about the finished work, the good work that pre-approves us before the Father and gives us salvation, is the finished work of Jesus keeps on working. It's ever-present working in our lives. And that's what I want to encourage you with a little bit today. And really, it was kind of the encouragement that Michelle had as well as she received the offering this morning, that God's love is that powerful and that consuming, but it's still working in all of our pain points and all of our headaches and all of our heartaches. And that's really part of the good news. So before we open the scriptures and go through them together, let's just take a moment and let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can come together and just receive. We can say thank you for the good work of salvation. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that we're pre-approved. Thank you that our sins are forgiven. Thank you that our sins are forgotten. Thank you that we are righteous. We've received the gift of right standing with you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you that you continue to work in our lives, in our minds, in our circumstances. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid of anything. Father, I ask that you encourage today every person in this place, everybody watching through any technology method, Father. I ask that every person who hears the truth of your gospel, who hears the truth of your love today, finds tremendous refreshment and has tremendous hope in the ongoing work of God in our lives. We give you praise for meeting our needs this day, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, you can follow along. Some of the scriptures I share will be on the screens as well. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, I love the way this verse is phrased. It says, by that will, this is speaking of the will of God. See, the previous verse talks about that Jesus said he was going to do the Father's will. And by that will, by the will of the Father, we have been sanctified. Think about that. This was all God's doing. My salvation is all the Father's doing from start to finish. It comforts me. I had no work. I had no effort. I had nothing I had to do except be astonished by the love of God that's been provided in Christ. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the verse says, once for all. In other words, it's a finished work. Sometimes you come to a church like this and people like myself or other teachers or preachers may talk about the finished work. We're having a reference to the Lamb of God, the one who has come to take away the sin of the world. Two verses later in Hebrews 10, verse 12, it says this, but this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now think about this in the imagery. You know, this is kind of having a comparison of the old system, the old covenant, where the priest forever stood. They never could rest. They never could sit down because the sacrifices they offered never did a finished work. But Jesus, once and for all, provided himself, and he sat down. next to the Father. So Jesus is seated in heaven, you know, recognizing his work is finished. But yet while he's seated, he continues to work, so to speak, on your behalf and my behalf, because it says he ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus has provided a perfect work or a finished work, but the work keeps on working. And that's why we don't have to be afraid about any situation, circumstance, complication, overwhelming news that may visit our life. Look at two verses later, verse 14, Hebrews 10. It says, "For by one offering, Jesus has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Well, it said four verses earlier that we are sanctified through the offering of the Lamb. So those of us who are just yielding to the revelation that his work is done in our lives, the Bible says that what he has done for us is we are perfected forever. Think about yourself in that kind of worldview. It'll make you more comfortable about who you really are. The Father says that in Christ Jesus, you and I have been perfected forever. Now, as Pastor Josh mentioned, this is Pentecost Sunday, and so through the death and the rising of the Lamb of God and our salvation being complete and finished, you know, Jesus then said that you and I, those who look to him and received of his love and follow his life, the Bible says that we are now equipped with the work of the ministry. Paul uses that phrase, you know, to be addicted to the work of the ministry. And that's a New Testament phrase that I often like, because it shows that you and I have to choose to cooperate. You know, nothing makes us move unless you yield to the wooing of the work of the Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. And this is why it's good to have friends that stir us and motivate us to be involved in the work of the ministry. So in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says that we're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we'll be witnesses unto him. We'll be witnesses unto him. It's not that we necessarily witness for Jesus, though we do, but we witness unto him. In other words, we announce the news of the finished work, and we tell people the work continues to work on all of our behalves. We announce the news. We witness unto him and what he's done. And it says you do it in your hometown, in your local area, in the San Fernando Valley, in all of Los Angeles, and to all parts of the planet, so to speak. And this whole book of Acts is really telling stories of people like you and me who choose to be thrilled with the truth that God does good work, that it's a finished work, and they wanted to announce the news or to display the news of the Father's love in some dynamic way. And so these stories in the book of Acts are very unique. They're very refreshing. They're a little bit odd sometimes, a little bit strange. They're full of miracles. Sometimes they're with individual people. Sometimes they're with small groups of people. Sometimes there may be a multitude of people. But don't ever diminish the function that you and I have individually or collectively as a body to be involved in this ongoing declaration that God did a perfect work. It's a finished work, but that work continues to work in each of our lives. And the Lord, you know, has saved us, yet he continues to save. You know that term save in the Greek language in the New Testament, it's a word soteria or sozo. It means not just to be saved for heaven, so to speak, but it means saved in whole in every part of our life. It means healing and preservation and deliverance and a sound mind. How many believers do we know who wrestle, you know, with worries and fears and anxieties and worst case scenarios? We have all these voices kind of, you know, bombarding our mindset. But part of our ongoing salvation is in our mind. It's in our soul. It's having confidence that God, you do good work, and you're continuing to work. We don't have to be afraid. Recently, our ministry purchased a little retreat. I've always wanted to have a little ministry retreat. So in January at my minister's conference, I announced something that we did at the end of the year. And I think there's a little picture or a little video of this little campus that I bought. It's in my hometown of Michigan. And I think they're going to have a little. This is the little place I bought. It's on a lake. It's an all-sports lake, great fishing lake, and it's got five cottages. It's got a you know, a center, kind of a lodge. It's got a recreational center, some other little cabins and things. But this little campus, by the way, for you Southern California people, I purchased this whole retreat campus for $275,000. So, you know, in California, for $275,000, you can buy a doghouse, you know, on about this much land. But anyway, the Lord blessed me with some friends who loaned me some money. And I've always had a desire to have pastors and people come to a place to rest, to have peace, and to just feed on the love of the Lamb in such a way where they can believe it, where they can believe God does a good work and that His work continues to work in all of our lives. Anyway, I was excited when we bought this, and we're sharing with some friends and pastors about how we're going to get the thing functioning and working. And what happened was we got hit with a terrible storm. It seems like every time I've ever done anything in ministry, whether it's domestically or internationally, I get just whacked side the head, so to speak, with complications and trouble. And there was a 500-year storm in this area. And so this is part of it, and 3 foot of water went through all the facility and, you know, in the lower levels and ruined everything. And this is, you know, from really inside the building looking out. It's supposed to be dry land there. The tree is actually in dry ground. But this is, you know, this is what you call a seaside view. Don't you think this is like a view? But anyway, I think they have a picture from the inside with a little fish. Do they have that picture of that little fish swimming by? Is that a photo they gave? I don't know. Maybe they don't have it. But the fish were swimming by the windows, you know. It was really strange. But anyway, to be honest with you, I really got depressed. I got really discouraged because I thought, okay, I borrowed all this money. I had this little dream. It was going to bless people. And then we got kind of whacked side the head, so to speak. But then the Lord interrupted some things because I was on my way to the Middle East. I was on the way to Beirut, Lebanon last month when this happened. And I was going to be preaching in the Middle East at our Middle East Life Center, and we're hosting all these delegates from Egypt that we flew in, and over 100 delegates from Syria that we brought in. So I was just so somewhat overwhelmed. But then suddenly my life was interrupted in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my chaos, in the middle of my fears. And I received an invitation to go to Chicago right before I went to Beirut. And I thought, okay, if they're bringing me to Chicago, I can go see the retreat and analyze everything and try to fix all my problems, all the challenges, because I had no idea what to do. So God took me there. God provided finances for me there. God gave me supernatural finances while I was there in odd ways. And I went over and spent 2 nights, and then God introduced me to people to help fix my problems. And so the Lord began to orchestrate things, and while I was driving back to Chicago in my rental car to catch a flight, to come home, and then to catch a flight to Beirut, I just was chit-chatting with the Lord, so to speak, and prayerfully, this is the phrase that bubbled out of me. It was, God, you do good work. God, you do good work. In other words, my heart was overwhelmed because I sensed and saw that He was working, that He was solving things, that He was fixing things. Do you know God does good work for you? Do you believe that? Do you know that God meets your needs when you don't even know how they're going to be met? He solves your problems. God, you do good work. We need to understand that the finished work is a good work, and it keeps on working for us and through us. The finished work of the Lamb of God keeps on working for us and through this. How do you know that He's going to do good work? You can just look to His Word. You can trust Him. Let me show you what I mean. In Habakkuk chapter 1, this is kind of a cool reference. Habakkuk, he was overwhelmed kind of like I was, but in different ways, but he had problems. This is his kind of his prayer. This is what he was seeing. This is what his mind was telling him. This is what his circumstances were saying. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, how long have I cried? How long have I been frustrated? And it seems like you don't hear. It seems like you don't care. Have you ever been there? Habakkuk was there. Even cry out to you violence, for you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence before me, there is strife, there's contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgments proceeds. In other words, this is his heartfelt cry that everything's going wrong. Nothing's working. Nothing seems to be right. But notice the Lord in his mercy gives a reply. Look at the Lord says in verse 5. Look among the nations and watch and be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. The Lord gives a reply to Habakkuk that requires faith to see it. Do you believe that God wants to do a work in you? Do you believe the finished work can keep on working in such a way to do a work in your life, to do a work in your world that is astonishing, that's astounding? That's what God says he will do. He said, you wouldn't believe even if it were told you the details of it. Sometimes the mystery of Christ requires us just to be still, just to trust. When you see everything wrong in your friendships, in your spouse, in your kids, in your grandkids, in your coworkers, in your world, in yourself, sometimes we have to rest in the mystery of the finished work and believe that God's still working in our troubles. It takes faith to know that he's going to do a complete work. Here's the truth concerning you and concerning every other believer everywhere. God is at work. He is working right now, and this is the mystery of Christ in our lives. In every adversity, in every sin, in every failure, in every misunderstanding, in everything, God is working. Now, this is what I've been telling myself the last week of my life. In the different challenges when my head gets all kinds of scenarios that are frustrating and intimidating and overwhelming, I'm speaking to myself, God is working now. I believe that the finished work that I've received continues to work and is making a way supernaturally for these precious people that I'm praying for, some of them friends, some of them loved ones, but, relatives or whatever. The thing is, God is working. He is working in everything, and that's the beautiful thing. Speaking of having the storms of life like this little situation, we had another storm at the same time in the Philippines. You all know the campus we have in the Philippines, the little kids, the 25 kids. Some of you may sponsor even one of the kids. I know Martha Ocavis here today, and she's been such a great coordinator and liaison with Johnny and the team and the project there. But we had a flood that kind of threatened our little campus there and for the kids. And so there's a couple little pictures, I think. And so to fix our flood, I had to build a culvert that's 4 feet in diameter and 147 feet long. In other words, the half the length of a football field. And so it was a big project. Took a lot of money, and I didn't tell anybody about the problem. I know Martha mentioned it to a few people, and a few people pitched in. Anyway, God sovereignly and supernaturally fixed it. So this last week, this project is completed. Somebody say hallelujah. Yeah, beautiful. And solves a problem. But here's what I'm learning to do in the problems of my life. I'm believing that the finished work, which is a good work, God, you do good work. You've imparted to me, you've imputed to me righteousness as a gift. It's amazing to me. That astonishing finished work keeps on working and provides favor, provides a blessing, provides resources, provides abundance, provides wisdom, provides miracles for everything I need and for you. We have to have a confidence that the finished work continues to work in each of our lives. So we're just so happy that the problem in the Philippines has been fixed now as well. We have to believe God's working even in our worst challenges, even in our worst frustrations, even in our worst circumstances that life seems to give us. The Apostle Paul, you know, what a story he has back to the book of Acts and some of these little stories. Let's just look at some. He had a time in his life, you know, he was a rascal, you know. Paul, he was a religious zealot. He didn't understand the finished work of Jesus until Jesus got his attention. And he believed and received of the finished work of the Lamb of God. And he knew God was continuing to work in his life. But he had challenges in his life. There's a season where he did not know what to do. He did not know where to go. Have you ever had that kind of season in your life where you don't have a clue what to do? You don't know what to go. You don't know where to work. You don't know how to solve issues or problems. So it says in Acts 16, this is from verse 6 through 10. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now think about that. The Holy Spirit forbid them. And in other words, there was a check not to do something. Have you ever had kind of little checks in here? Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't participate in this. It's the Holy Spirit trying to just love you to a place where you can be confident in his leading. So think about that. He was forbidden to preach the word. Now, it sounds like preaching the word's a good idea, but sometimes we need to know the times and seasons for different assignments. So it says they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So then there's another place. He thought, well, let me do this then. And there was a resistance. There was not now. This isn't the time. So passing by Mary, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared. Have you ever been somewhere and suddenly there's like a quick hitting, like not necessarily a clear vision, but just like a quick hitting, and something comes alive in you, and you have like, hey, I know what to do about something or something. I know what to say. I know how to address an issue or whatever. So a vision appeared to Paul at night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding, in other words, they made a decision. They concluded that the Lord called us to preach the gospel to them. So in the midst of indecision, not to go here, forbidden to go here, suddenly there was a prompting. I think in if your life's anything like mine, there's different things on the table, right, before us of challenges and problems, and we're trying to diagnose what to do, what to say, how to help this person, how to fix this, how to participate in a blessing in something. And it's complicated. But you can have confidence when you have confidence in the finished work that the Lamb of God is continuing to work in these situations, and you're going to find a point of peace that you can yield to, that you can flow with. And this is where God is going to do a great and mighty thing. It's interesting in the story. I don't think we're going to take time to read this whole thing, but in Acts 16, verses 11 through 15, you know, when he goes to Macedonia, he didn't see a man. He saw a woman. Now, a man was in the vision, but a woman was the answer. In other words, it says there, he met with a group of ladies, him and his traveling companion, and they shared the gospel to this small group of ladies. And this one lady, it says around in verse 16, it says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart. You know what I find when the Lord continues to do a work in the situations, in the challenges of life? The Lord opens the hearts of people. The Lord gives people ears to hear. And this is one of my great prayers these days. Lord, open this person's heart. Open that person's heart. Open the hearts of the people to hear of your great love and yield to it. Cooperate with it and be astonished by the grace of God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken up by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So think about this. In the leading of the Lord, God showed a vision of a man, but a woman supplied a residence to stay for Paul and his traveling companions, and this was an amazing thing. So from this, the story doesn't get better, the story gets worse. You know, sometimes God is working, but we have to go through challenges at times in order for God to reveal his goodness to people that need to see it. And sometimes it takes people just of faith who are not afraid to go through the pain points of life so others through that process can see of the goodness of God. So Paul, what happened, he was mocked by people. He cast the devil out of some people. And then he went to prison for it after they beat the daylights out of him, you know. I mean, he went through a lot of hardship and in pain. They were in prison. In fact, let's read some of this in Acts 16. Verse 16 through 24. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And she did this many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed." He was greatly annoyed. "Turned around and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.' And he came out that very hour, and when her master saw that their hope for profit was gone." You know, when people lose their profits, they get a little ticked off, don't they? And they seize Paul and Silas, they drag him into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly troubling our city. They teach customs were not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe." Then the multitude rose up together, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. What a bummer, huh? "And when they had laid many stripes on them and threw them into the prison, they commanded the jailer to keep them secure. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks." Now, it doesn't seem like God's working, but Paul's a conveyor of the finished work, and he believes the finished work continues to work in his life. When he had the yielding and the prompting of the Holy Spirit to go there. So notice, in prison, he wasn't depressed. I think if I was in prison, I'd be depressed. Sometimes I'm depressed and I'm not even in prison. But, you know, he was in prison. He was beaten. And the brother's not depressed. Now look at this. Acts 16, verse 35. "Then at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them." Think about this. Can you, on your journey in life, continue to praise the Lord? Can you, when you have heartaches and headaches and pain, can you continue to come to church and lift your hands or lift your voice and say, "Lord, you're good. You love me. Your love's chasing me down. Your love's enough"? Can you sing? Can you pray? Can you? Do you have the faith that God, you do good work? In the middle of the storms of life, in the middle of being flooded out when everything seems to be going wrong, God, you do good work. You do good work, and you continue to work. Can you sing praise? You know, as they sang, there was an earthquake. The place was shaken, and their chains fell off. And I tell you, the prisoner, you know, guard, he thought, man, he's going to lose it all. He was going to, you know, kill himself. Paul said, "Hey, whoa, bro. We're all here, man. We're not going nowhere. All is well." And the guy came to him. Read the whole thing in the text there. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Well, if you confess all your sin and pray a long sinner's prayer." No, Paul didn't. Paul put no demands on him. Paul said, "Bro, it's been done. If you can just believe the finished work, that finished work will keep working for you." And the Bible said he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, if you can believe it, it'll influence your whole household. Your whole household will be saved. And right then, the dude said, "I want to show myself. I want to show everybody. Can I be baptized?" And Paul baptized him. I tell you, it's an amazing thing to understand that the finished work keeps on working in all of our lives, even when it seems like things are going wrong. Now, I would have thought to myself, well, things are really looking bad. I wonder if this vision was of the devil, because they're beating the daylights out of me and I'm in jail. Paul didn't think that way. He said the finished work keeps on working. Can you have confidence in God in your life and for your family and for your world that God is doing great things, and he's going to keep on doing great things in your life? Look at it says in Psalm 126, turning your captivity, the Bible says, it's like a dream. When the Lord, this is verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them, and we are glad. Friend, the finished work keeps on working. Now, you don't have to do any other work to be saved. Just believe. Believe and receive the gift of righteousness. Believe and receive that your sins are forgiven. It's enough. It's a done deal. And then live your life cooperating by beholding the Lamb that He's continuing to work in your daily life, in your daily storms of life, in your daily flooded out situations, in the daily bombardment when your head has so many other voices giving you narratives that are so different from the truth. Trust the Lamb of God. Trust Him, even when things are looking bad. Paul, the guy who we were just talking about in the book of Acts, in Philippians 1:6, he said this, writing to the church in Philippi, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work, God, you do good work. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He'll complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Friend, have confidence He's going to do a complete work, a finished work. And that's why I was so astonished. I came back to California before I went to Beirut. I said, Heidi, what God did astonishes me. God showed me how to do it. God showed me how to save money. It just would drop in my spirit what to do, how to fix, how to get it. And then God brought me money to begin the process, to fix it, to rebuild. Listen, God loves you that dramatically. He really does. He wants you to understand it's a finished work. That's why I always tell you every time I preach, I love to come in the sanctuary. I love the stained glass. I love the Lamb of God. I love the bread in the cup on either side. I love the proof my work's done. It's a finished work. So come eat, drink, and let's be merry. Let's not be overwhelmed, and let's give all the troubles, all the stress, all the precious loved ones in our lives who are making bad choices, doing bad things, whatever it is no big deal. God's love is greater than all of it. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. This to me is really, really good news. Habakkuk, back to Habakkuk chapter 2. See, the book of Acts is all about announcing the finished work and letting people know the finished work keeps on working by the Spirit who lives in us and dwells in us and fills us and thrills us. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 through 3. The Lord said to Habakkuk, write the vision, make it plain. See, what you and I are called to do is announce the news in a way that people can get it, that they can believe it. So those who believe it, says they can run who read it. The vision's for an appointed time. At the end it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not Terry. So tell people, tell your friends, tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your kids, hey, God is working. God is working. I don't know how, in the mystery of Christ, I believe the finished work keeps on working. I believe that Jesus has it covered. Let's look to Him. Let's take communion. Let's open the scripture. Let's read a verse. Let's speak to ourselves. God is working, and He's going to meet every need in our life. We don't live by what our circumstances say. We don't live by the floods in our lives, the storms in our lives. We live by what God's faith says. The faith of God in Christ tells us the truth. And so we need to allow, you know, the faith of God to be our vision in what we talk about. Look at 2 Corinthians real quick, chapter 4. Paul, this is his testimony. Some of the testimonies from the stories we read in Acts 16, but look at this. He says, we have a treasure in verse 7 in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. We are hard pressed on every side. Have you all ever been there? Just pressed till you feel like squeezed in and you just want to go out into a field and scream at the top of your lungs. Have you ever been? I've been there. I've been there. Wow. Hard pressed on every side. Yet, not crushed. We're perplexed. Have you ever been there? This brother has more than you'd ever could count. Perplexed, but I'm not in despair. You know why? Because I believe the finished work keeps on working. I believe it. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down. Have you ever been knocked on your can? But we're not destroyed. I don't care what they said about you. The truth about you is the Lamb of God. Have confidence in the finished work being the truth of you, no matter what went wrong. Get up. Rise up in faith and let God do a good thing. So, pressed down, That's what the natural circumstances, but faith says, I am not crushed. Perplexed, that's what the natural circumstances, but your faith says, I am not in despair. I refuse to buy into it. Persecuted, that's what the circumstances say, but your faith says, I am not forsaken. Knocked down, you feel like you're a loser eternally, faith says, I am not destroyed. The love of God's that great. We live by the Spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, therefore we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man, your spirit man, your recreated truth being in you, the created, recreated being is being renewed day by day. Paul says, our light affliction is only momentary. See, everything he outlined in all the pain points of his life was just a light affliction. It's only for a moment, and it's working on our behalf a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory, while we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. That's the key, I think, many times to know that God continues to work, is you don't let the natural things be the voice that calls the shots. You look unto the Savior, the mystery of the finished work of Jesus. You look unto Jesus Christ, and you know that he's doing all things, and he's doing all things well. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 and 18. This is the way Habakkuk finished it out. He had a song, a hymn of faith. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the field, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, he's talking about all these negative circumstances. So he outlines them, and then he says, yet I will rejoice in all the garbage that's going on, in all the crap that's going on. Yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. A reference really to the Lamb of God. The finished work, it keeps on working. God is not finished with any of you. God's not finished with your family. God's not finished with your kids. Now God's not finished with nothing. God is working, and he's working well. Habakkuk finally got it. Now the question is, do you get it? Do I get it? Every day I've got to make a decision that the finished work keeps on working. Because there's going to be some scenarios painted in your head through the circumstances, through the storms of life, through other people, through the ones you love the most. And you've got to have confidence that he is doing a good work. Did y'all enjoy the word today? Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Josh is going to come up, and as he comes, let me just pray for you now. Father, I thank you that you love us. You love us completely. I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the finished work of the Lamb of God. I thank you, Father, that every need of our lives have been met. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that the finished work keeps on working. God, you are working. You're working in our lives. You're working in our individual circumstances. You're working. Father, I ask for the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ to be so revealed to each of these precious ones today that they have just some solutions for situations in their lives. Let not their heart be troubled, Father. Meet their needs. And Father, should there be somebody in this place kind of like that jailer who's never trusted the Lord, friend, just trust in Jesus now. Just say, I receive your love. I receive salvation. I receive the forgiveness of sins. And just look to Jesus. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Partake in his life. And walk as a son and daughter of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for doing great things. I pray for healing and wholeness for every person in this place. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you all.